Christian greetings. Good morning to each of you this morning. Appreciated the service and the songs. Wendell led us in that last consecration song. It's my prayer that tonight, as you retire for the night, that you can say, and at evening, let me say, I have walked with God today. That's my desire this morning, that we would hear God, we would see God, and understand what He has for us. Appreciate your prayers and the support that you've been, that you are. God bless you for that, and may we, as we look into God's Word this morning, may we again be challenged in the area that God wants us to be challenged in. I think it was last week, I was visiting with some of you about church life, and the comment was made about really enjoying church life. And I'm thankful this morning that to be part of the Great Lakes congregation, to be one of you, I enjoy the fellowship that we have here, the companionship of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that want to do what's right. If I ask for a raise of hands this morning, how many of us want to work together towards faithfulness? All our hands would go up. I think that's really our desire. We want to be faithful. And we want to grow in our spiritual relationship with God. So with those goals, a desire to be faithful and to grow in our relationship with God, with those goals, we discuss what's right and wrong. That time I was talking with some of you, we discussed good things and challenges in church life. And I appreciate that. Yet each one of us has a different perspective. We have different experiences. Our desire is to work together and to blend. But we do have different perspectives. We have different backgrounds. But that different perspective and different background, coupled with godliness and charity, can be one of the most stabilizing and balancing effects on the congregation. It can be beautiful, and it is beautiful when we're not all the same. Matt talked about the different gifts this morning, a lot of different gifts. And as we blend that together, and like I said, with godliness and with charity, we can experience beautiful church life. And so God's people lived happily ever after. Is that how it works? It's what we want, right? I'm sure you're sincere. You really want that. I do too. I believe each one of us want that. And someday we'll get it. If we are faithful, when we reach heaven, that's what I envision heaven to be like. A blending together with no differences. But in reality, Jesus has different words for us. He says, it is impossible, but offenses will come. It's just the way it is. It's the way life in our carnality, in our humanity. It is impossible, but offenses will come. The title of the message this morning is Overcoming Offenses. When I was ordained, I don't remember if it was Brother Art or the bishop, but they gave me this little black book. I had never seen one of these before. Whoops. I think it might have been Art that gave it to me. But it's called Mennonite Confessions of Faith and Minister's Manual. Did you ever wonder when Brother Jess gets up here and he has the wedding vows, where does he get them, or how does he know what to say? Well, he probably looks in the little minister's manual, written in 1890, compiled by John S. Kaufman. And it's not the Bible, but it's a lot of practical, traditional things that we practice. And I appreciate it. If you go to weddings here, if you go to weddings at other conservative churches, a lot of the wedding vows are going to be the same because they reference some of these old teachings. But the reason I wanted, what I wanted to share with you this morning is there's a charge in here that was given to me when I was ordained. And bear with me, I just want to read it to you because I really, it's my job. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it, part of it, it says, it will now be your duty to, and I skip a few things, but it'll be your duty to assist the bishop in administrations of baptism, the Lord's Supper, to bear testimony of the truth in the public ministrations, and when for any reason no minister is present, where the people meet for public worship or by the direction of the ministry, it will be your duty to conduct the service by reading, exhortation, and prayer. Therefore, I'm preaching this morning. The next part is the, what I really wanted to think about. It says, where strife or difficulties arise in the church or between brethren and sisters, it will be your duty to use your utmost endeavors to bring about a reconciliation and restore unity and peace. Be faithful to the Lord, and he will endow you with wisdom and understanding from on high, give you grace to do his work, and bless you in all your duties. The grace of God be with you. Amen. So, that's my job. I care about that. I care about our congregation and relationships. And it's not that John and Art and Reuben don't care. Not at all. Absolutely not. But I think as Matt read in 1 Corinthians 12, or we looked at a little bit this morning, God gives different gifts, responsibilities, and I really care about our congregation here and how we interact with each other, how we get along, because it's my charge, my responsibility. I care about the relationships in our congregation because how we relate together among ourselves is a direct manifestation of our relationship with God. The way we get along, the way we work together, is a snapshot or a picture of our relationship with God. 1 John 4, verse 4 clearly states that how we get along is important. 1 John 4, verse 20. I care about the relationships in our congregation because I want us to be faithful. I want our congregation here to be a safe place, a place where we can find comfort and encouragement, companionship and accountability, a place where our children and our little ones can grow up and brotherhood, brotherly love in the church is normal. That's what they're used to. I think that's beautiful when children can grow up in a setting like that. And this morning, I specifically want to thank you. I don't bring this message this morning because we got problems. Well, if we do, I'm probably the first one that's the problem. I have as much room to grow as anyone does. But I want to thank you for the many times that I've seen you blending and working together. This morning, we have our service. Song leader gets up, no complaining, does his job to the best of his ability. Matt, superintendent, teachers, all the different teachers, the trustees, we work together as a body. And we blend, and we give and we take. Remember our brothers' meeting the other week? We needed some classrooms, and we all had a little different, some of us had a little different idea. And we talk about them, and basically boils down to a unanimous vote. Let's do it. We give in, we submit to each other, and we say, let's go. And I, to this day, I don't think there's hard feelings about our Sunday school edition. I think we know where to go, and we're looking forward to doing that. And that's wonderful. That's working together the way God wants us to. Probably the main reason I care about relationships in our congregation this morning is because Jesus says it's impossible, but offenses will come. The devil knows that offenses are, I think, one of his key weapons in destroying churches and families and individuals. Offenses are a serious thing, and how we relate to them is very, very important. And it seems that one of the greatest challenges to relationships is with the people that we love the most and that we work with the closest. This morning I think about our homes and our relationship in the home with husbands and wives, and how easy it is for the devil that we take offense with each other. Sometimes it can be parents and children, or brothers and sisters in the home. It can also be brothers and sisters in the church. As we relate and we work closely together, things can come up that just frustrate you. Why do you do that? You know what that feels like? Just that resentment or that resistance. The burden for this message was born out of my own personal struggle with offenses. I personally know what it's like to allow mistakes and failures of others to seed bitterness and resentment in my own heart. These seeds can cause incredible pain and frustration, and they can be very painful and very destructive. But this morning, Jesus has provided a way that we can find freedom from the chains of offenses. And we'd like to look at some of those solutions in his word today. Turn to Mark chapter 4 in your Bibles. Mark 4. I was thinking about reading the first part of chapter 4. I don't think we'll take the time to do that, but you know this story pretty good. It's about the parable of the sower. And I'd like to just, for the sake of time, let's skip the first 14 verses where Jesus actually gives the parable. Go to verse 14 where he starts to explain what he just read. 14 to 20 of Mark 4. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and having no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the world's sake, immediately they're offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown in good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. I'm not doing justice this morning to this story or this parable at all, because I'd like to just pick out what Jesus says in verse 16 and 17. It's talking about the stony ground. The stony ground, the sower threw the seed out on the stony ground and it landed. And it says, and immediately received, and they who heard the word immediately received it with gladness. Surface relationships. Yeah, that sounds good. That's fun. Let's do that. And they take it and they go with it. And it says they have no root. Roots don't go down, just on the surface. You know what that's like? We're talking about the spiritual aspect of that. Where we sit here Sunday morning and I'm in. Yep, that's what we want to do. We're going to do that. And then we leave. John talked about that. We leave and there's no root. There's no depth. It says in verse 17 that they have no root in themselves and so endure for a time, and afterward when affliction and persecution, remember Jesus said these offenses will come. It's coming. When these things come, immediately they are offended. And if you jump over to verse 6, it says they withered away. They're dead. They're gone. They are not faithful. They did not make it. They allowed the offense and their lack of depth, and they were destroyed. What is an offense this morning? An offense The dictionary says an offense is annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult or a disregard for one's own standards or principles. Let me read it again, because I think this is exactly the definition that we're looking at with offense this morning. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself or one's standard or principle. Basically, you didn't think the way I think, you didn't do what I think, my standard or my principle, and therefore it's just annoying. It's just, there's resentment. And it's brought about by, did you notice that word? Perceived insult. It's the way I think you took it, or I think you said. It's a perceived insult, and it produces annoyance and resentment. That's an offense. An offense is a negative feeling when we do not receive some good, which we thought we deserved, or when we receive ill, when we thought we did not deserve it. Every day, we're presented with opportunities to be offended, and every day we have to choose whether or not to be offended. And this choice often happens subconsciously. We could start in the front with Brother Art this morning and go to John, GR, and Matt. We could go around to every single one that's sitting here, and we could probably all have a story of when that offense happened. And I'm not saying we're holding grudges this morning, but it's real. It happens all the time. I think it probably, we don't look for it necessarily, but it probably happens every day. When the person following you at the stop sign blows the horn, and they obviously don't see the car coming, what happens inside of you? What was it? Annoyance and resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Just bugs you. So how does a Christian respond? Before we get to that, that's the next. I have three things I'd like to look at. First of all, what is an offense? We looked at that a little bit. Why do we get offended? And then I have just a few points on how we can overcome offenses. But point number two, why do we get offended? I think we get offended, well, there's a number of different reasons, and I'm definitely not saying that I have them all here this morning, but in Proverbs 13, verse 10, I'd like to quote that for you or read that for you. It says, "Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Are you serious? All contention comes from pride? That's what Proverbs says. Only by pride cometh contention. Many offenses stem from annoyance and resentment brought about by a perceived insult or disregard for oneself or one's standard or principles. I have an opinion and I value it more than the opinion of others. So when they share something that violates my opinion, I'm annoyed. Bugs me. That's just frustrating. Just as an example this morning, on my way home from church today, I might ask my wife what she thought about the message. I don't preach very often. Give me some tips or some pointers. And she might tell me that it was okay, but I talk too much about my own personal experiences, or I use too much or too little scripture. I tried my best. I spent hours getting ready for this sermon. What are you talking about? Do you know that feeling? What's going on here when that happens? You know what it is? John's concerned about myself. I'm really focused on how I feel. But you know what I just missed when I had that feeling, that feeling of resentment that came up? I missed a beautiful opportunity to say, tell me more. Help me understand. How can I be a better person? How can I do it better? And other people have tremendous insights that I don't have, that you don't have. And when we can avoid choosing to be offended, and rather we can open ourselves up to their correction and insight in our life, we can lay that pride down, then we can be tremendously blessed. There's an opportunity that we have that so many times pride and selfishness push that good thing away. Proverbs 13, verse 18, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Pride leads us into offenses. Point number two under why we get offended. We can be offended because of a lack of commitment to the word. Look at verse 16 and 17, and I already alluded to this in Mark 4. We want the good. We want the fun. We want the easy things. They didn't have any root. When they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. Yep, they're in, they're on. We hear the truth, and on the surface it seems like the thing to do, but when the trials and the afflictions and persecutions arise, there's no roots into the word, and we're offended. Do you have roots down into the word? When those offenses come, are you able to, with God's help, to say, teach me more, help me understand, what is there something to learn here? That's depth, but it takes our roots in God's word. Does the Bible influence your choices? If I'm struggling with being easily offended, I could benefit by sifting the things that influence my feelings through the word, through God's word. As things come, next time I or you are you feel that surge of annoyance and resentment, stop. Does God have something for me to learn here? Is there something that I can learn? The question I ask, or the challenge is this morning to you, does the word influence my life? The third thing under why do we get offended? We can be offended because we're not willing to surrender. Let me turn over to Mark 10 and verse 21 and verse 22. You can turn there if you want to. It's the parable, it's not a parable, it's a story of the rich young ruler, I think. And he comes to Jesus and he says, what should I do? And Jesus gives him all those things that he's, I've got it. I've got it covered. I've already done that. What else? And Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. What's verse 22 say? And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved. I call that being offended. He went away offended. That didn't line up with what he had in mind at all. I can't do that. We're not going to sell everything we have and give to the poor. He was not willing to surrender, not willing to back down. When I value my opinion above the opinions of other Christians, I set myself up for failure. The rich young ruler valued his opinion over that of what Jesus told him to do, to find peace and salvation. God help us to be willing to be taught, willing to hear, willing to understand, and willing to do what Jesus is asking us to do, willing to surrender. And the last one, why do we get offended? Number four, we can be offended because the devil knows how deadly offenses can be. In the days of the early church, and again in the Reformation, the church victoriously faced terrible persecution. How did that happen? Why weren't those early Christians, why didn't they shrink back, and why weren't they offended? Yet even during that time, the church spread and grew. What was it that took the greatest spiritual on the church in the past 2,000 years? I think it was peace and prosperity. When the focus is taken off of the enemy and turned inward toward each other, the results are devastating. This morning, if we can keep our focus on being faithful and sharing the good news, the gospel, with those around us. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. If we can keep our focus on that, that helps us to eliminate those deadly offenses. I don't know how many years ago it was, but Anthony shared a topic here, and I think I still have the paper that he handed out. I guess he handed it out in my Bible. I looked at it as I was preparing the message, and the point was, he shared several years ago about the difference between being a reconciler of the lost and evaluator of the saints. You remember that? I think it was something written by Pablo Yoder. It was a beautiful article. It described the church so clearly. Our focus needs to be on reconciling the lost and reaching out to those around us and helping our fellow saints. God help us to not focus on seemingly misunderstandings and offenses, but that we would stand beside each other in the quest for faithfulness. All right, the last part here, how can we overcome offenses? Turn to Romans 12. Now, a lot of you have studied for topics, and sometimes you have a subject in mind, and you're just not sure, is there scripture that applies to that? Turn to Romans chapter 12. I prayed and asked God to show me, and I was so inspired with Romans 12. We're talking about overcoming offenses. How can we overcome offenses? I'd like to read verses 9 to the end of the chapter. And keep in mind our message, or the title this morning. How can we overcome offenses? Verse 9 of Romans 12, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I was looking for a scripture that just had a few points that I could lift out this morning. Well, brothers, we're going to be here till this afternoon if we get all the points out of Romans 12. If you face offenses, if they come upon, and they will, they do, and you're struggling with it, flip to Romans 12 and just read down across this and look at the teaching in here. I didn't nearly get them all, and we're going to quit when it's time to quit, I think. But how can we overcome offenses? The first one is we need to love God and we need to love His Word. We need to love God and love His Word. In Psalms 119, verse 165, it says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they that love thy law, and I'm not going to be offended. We can handle it. We can be faithful if we love God's law. Offenses rob us of our peace. Any peace that we did have is often replaced with resentment and frustration when we are offended. A sincere love for God and His Word produces stability and consistency in our lives so that we don't need to become a victim to those offenses that come. The next point, number two, let God's love flow through you to others. Let God's love flow through you to others. Remember, we're talking about overcoming offenses. An offense is when I feel like I've been wronged and I've been hurt. Take the focus off of ourselves and let God's love to us flow out to those around us. Look at verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. What's dissimulation mean? So years ago, I didn't know what that word. I looked it up in Strong's and I wrote in my Bible, unfeigned. It's not fake. Let it not be fake. It needs to be real. Let love be real. Feigned love. Feigned love, I think, is when we're together with someone and we talk, we're talking to them and we can talk very nice and respectful and kind. But it's a feigned love when we turn around and visit with the next person and we talk about all the things that he did wrong, why he shouldn't have done that, and what's wrong with him. That's feigned love. And that produces offenses. It doesn't help us overcome them. No fake love. God doesn't do that, and he doesn't want us to do that. Be real. If you have a concern with someone or something that you don't appreciate or they need to improve, talk with them directly and not about them to others. Point number 3, abhor that which is evil. Verse 9, abhor that which is evil. Focus on the good things. Stay away from evil. I think we should stay away from evil in our talking and also in our doing. We need to abhor it. Remember that we're talking about overcoming offenses. When the horn blows behind you, don't allow evil into your thoughts and much less into your actions. There was a point in Sunday school this morning that we were talking about, I can't get that question together exactly, but I think Morv made the comment, we have to have a plan ahead of time in order to avoid making a wrong action. And I think we better have a plan before the horn blows as to what we're going to do. A life connected with God that is connected with God will react or respond in a correct way. Abhor with that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. Point number 4, look for and think about the good in others. Verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Be kindly affectioned with brotherly love in honor preferring one another. Be considerate of what others are facing. Did you ever hear the saying that hurt people hurt people? Sometimes when people are struggling, they can say or do hurtful things. And I think as we look for the good in other people, we'll be able to overlook some of those maybe offenses, the things that they say that can easily take root and cause frustration. But if we can understand that maybe the person that blew their horn at you actually needed help, that's a possibility. But look for the, rather than just immediately jumping to the negative, consider that there could be more to the story in those people's lives. And it can help us to overcome offenses. Look for and think about the good in others. Point number 5, earnestly serving the Lord. Verse 7, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Earnest means to have a sincere and intense conviction. Our focus needs to be, probably one of the most important things this morning as we think about overcoming offenses, is that the more we focus on ourselves, the more I think about how I feel about it, the longer we'll stay enslaved to the offense. But as we can focus on serving God and meeting the needs of others, and helping others, God can help us to overcome the offense in our own life. What can I do to help that person or situation? Focus, get our focus off of ourselves and think about helping others. I'm just going to breeze down across a few of these for the sake of time, but in verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, God wants us to be patient. Be patient. Don't be hasty or rash in our speech and our actions, but be patient. In verse 12, continuing instant in prayer. Prayer helps us to find a balance. It adds time to our response and our actions. Remember to pray. Verse 13, move your focus off yourself. We talked about that before. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Look for ways to bless others, even those that are offensive. Move your focus off yourself. Verse 14, return good for evil. Look for ways to reach out and to be a blessing, even when people are persecuting us. Care about what your offender is facing. In verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Again, if we take our focus off of ourselves and think about if it's your wife or your husband or your child that offended you, where are they at? What are they facing? Maybe I'm just oblivious to an issue in their life. And if I would get my focus off of myself and care about what they are facing, it can help us to not be offended. I'm just going to read down over the few that I have listed here. Be humble, seek for peace. Verse 19, God is responsible for and capable of justice. That's not our job. Verse 20, go as far as God is asking you to do. If your enemy hungers, feed him. Do what God is asking you to do. This morning, if you know what God wants you to do to overcome an offense, do it. The keys are in your hand. Just allow God to help you to do what he's asking you to do. Verse 20, evil is powerful, but God is more powerful. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to close this morning with a story. I think I was in my teens. A couple of us traveled to Oregon, and we went camping. Rode horses way back in the wilderness, set up camp down in a valley by the creek, and there was a mountain off to the side, really tall mountain, and we're going to hike to the top of the mountain. So one day, I think we got up early, and it was a day's job to get up and back, and we left and hiked up the mountain. We got partway up the mountain, and it was high enough that I think they called it the tree line. The trees started to disappear, and we kept on hiking. And as we neared the top, the further up we got, there was a lot of stones around. And we were in our teens. And what do you think teenagers like to do with stones on the side of the mountain way back in the wilderness? Nobody else is around. Of course, we rolled a few stones down the mountain. And everything was fine. We got to a stone that was really big. My memory is that it was just huge, a couple tons, I'm sure. And it was sitting right on the edge, and looked underneath, and there was a tiny little rock. I'm sure we can make this roll. And we got levers and stones, and we worked, and we worked, and we worked. And we got the big stone to take off. And the big stone rolled down the hill very fast, faster and faster. And the stone, we were way above the tree line. The stone went into the woods, and we were way up above it. From our perspective, we could just, every now and then you'd see a treetop just shake. It looked like it disappeared. And we started to worry about our camp at the bottom of the hill. But we were almost at the top, so we kept going up. And then we came back down, and we were anxious to see what happened to the stone. Where did the stone go? And we came down, and you could see where it went into the woods. It was taken off trees that we couldn't reach our arms around. 10 or 15 feet in the air, when it would come off a cliff, it would just snap it. And we really got worried about our camp. But there's a point. Did the stone stop? The stone did stop. How do you think, what stopped the stone? You think it was the trees? It wasn't the trees. We hiked and hiked. I don't know how many trees it kept knocking off. And we were seriously worried. But you know what stopped the stone? A big rock pile. There was a big rock pile. I don't know how big the rocks were, but they were big. And this stone rolled across the rock pile. That stone could take off big trees. And it was gathering enough of speed that it could take care of whatever it faced until it got to the rock pile. And then it started to face impact with itself and with internally with its own, in a sense, if you know what I mean. Don't miss the point. As that rock rolled across those stones, after a while we could see that it split, started breaking up, broke into little pieces and kept breaking down until it coasted to a stop somewhere not far beyond the rock pile. As a congregation, if we begin to allow offenses to drive wedges between us and our focus becomes each other, we become judgmental and critical of each other, rock striking rock. And when we face the big things in life, the challenges, we need to stick together. We need to work together. This morning, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder as a brotherhood, as a congregation here, we can face the enemy of our souls together. And by God's grace, we can and we will be victorious. But we need each other. Let's not be offended and turn our attention inward, but rather focus on the goal, focus on the bigger cause, and be willing to lay down that offense and that selfishness, and focus on others and on God's plan for us. Remember Matt's devotions, all the great things and the big trees we can knock off. But if we don't have charity, it profits nothing. We need to have love for each other. And help God help us to choose to focus on God's ability to deliver us so that we can overcome those offenses that we face. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father, we come before you again this morning. Thank you for knowing us. You see each one of us here today. You know our thoughts. You know our things that we are challenged with. You know the offenses that we deal with, the things that hurt us. I just pray for each brother and sister here this morning. Lord, you understand better than I do, better than each one of us do, what offenses feel like and how they can hurt. You've suffered far beyond what any of us will ever suffer. As far as offenses, show us the way, Lord. Help us to learn to forgive. Be willing to take our focus off of ourselves and focus on you and your love, your ability to deliver. None of us are perfect, Lord. We need each other. We need encouragement. We need to be challenged. And Lord, that's not stone striking stone in a sense, but that's in love. We can help each other to be faithful. So that together we can face the enemy of our souls that wants to destroy our congregation. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for promising us a victory, and that we can, by your strength, we can do what's right, we can be faithful, and we can overcome what those offenses that face each one of us. Help us to be faithful. We trust you. We love you, Lord. This morning we put our hand in your hand and ask for your strength to go with us as we go from here. Bless each one of your people today, those that are here, those that might be listening in. May we all be faithful to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.